I went to GD Ritzy's right before this, which is a pretty good name for a restaurant.
God damn, Ritzy's. Done it again.
Got myself a vanilla Diet Pepsi, and they always want to argue with me. Like, you know, once you put the vanilla flavoring in, it's not diet. Yeah, I know. All right. If I was worried about my health, I wouldn't be eating at GD Ritzy's.
Did you do a cheesy ketchup cocktail like Daddy taught you so long ago?
No, no cheesy.
GD Ritzy's will sell you a little cup of cheese for you to dip your angel hair fries into. If you do it like that, you're a sucker and a punk, and I don't want to talk to you. Well, the trick is you go up to one of the ketchup fountains and you splurge some of that into the cheese cup and you mix it all up. What do you have? Hey, what are you eating there? A cheesy ketchup stew.
With fries. With fries. Fry spoons.
I don't understand the name. It's Ritzy? Like GD. He's Ritzy. Like,
yeah. There are no top hats.
But it's possessive. So there's a guy who's so GD Ritzy. It's GD Ritzy's.
It's in a hollowed out Tiffany's. So I mean, the ritziness is there. It's part of the atmosphere.
And it's right across the street from the hospital, mm-hmm. and next to the podiatrist. So.
Which is good. There's a nice circular flow of traffic moving between those two buildings.
There's actually a pretty bad problem. There's no traffic light there, so there's a pretty bad problem of people getting drilled on that stretch of street because they just see the Ritzy's and they're like, oh, I got to get it.
Got to get that cheesy ketchup.
But now they have to push past all the people who are smoking. It's a great sight because the hospital is now a completely non-smoking campus. So outside the hospital, there's this row of people at all times with like IV bags and in wheelchairs.
Tumored hoodlums loitering.
Loitering and smoking, back and forth.
So you're saying it's not like people in like mink coats just sitting outside of GD's Ritzy's.
Right.
You know, eating Fabergé eggs.
Hunting the sick for sport.
My name's Justin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Ross Frost,
and I'm dead.
Why did you guys kill me?
Isn't it obvious?
Yeah, it's odd. There are many reasons, but no, Russ Frostick isn't here. Where is he?
Somewhere.
Comic-Con.
Yeah, Comic-Con, this week's New York Comic-Con, so... Oof. If you're in New York and you want to catch an airborne pathogen.
Holy God. I went to New York Comic Con last year just on my own, you know, just as a spectator. And, oh man, was that terrifying.
What was so scary about it?
It's just the throng. I mean, I've been to every gaming convention and nothing prepared me for this.
You ain't been to CGS.
Okay, every gaming convention in America. Okay. And nothing prepared me for this. Nothing. Yeah. It was like wall to wall, just full on throng of people. If you lost someone in there, it's like, well, I guess I'll never see them again. You just have to learn to move on with pick up the piece of your life and move on.
It's part of the con, though. It's a hot swingers environment. You lose your bow, and then you just swing on to the next one. And I say swing because you're dressed up like Spider-Man.
This week on The Besties, which is a program where we talk about the latest and greatest in tech, sports, web design, stair design, building design, and all kinds of designs. Today we're going to talk about video game design and how to make them better if we were making them.
Can I start with a critique of my own thing in terms of how to design a game better than how it was made? My thing this week... I can't actually do that because my thing is the iOS adaptation of the board game Pandemic by Z-Man Games. And the reason I can't critique it is because it is flawless.
Wow. Big words. Griffin, tell us about Pandemic for folks that aren't down with the clown.
Pandemic is, I would say, a fairly popular strategy board game. It is a cooperative board game. I don't know. I feel like there was a pretty big push for those over the past few years. People realized that the economics of competitive board games involving 2.5 hours of you and 3 other people playing only for 3 people to be really bummed out and one person feel kind of guilty they won didn't really make sense. It is a cooperative board game where you play as different sort of classes of scientists for the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control.
Now, does the app realistically shut down now that the government is shut down? You can't play it?
Yeah, I haven't been able to play it in like 6 days. So you play as these different classes, and basically the point of the game is you are looking at the world map, and there are four diseases that you and your team have to cure before those diseases take over the world. So the way you win the game is by finding the cures for these four diseases, which you do by drawing cards every turn. You have to find cards that match the same color. Once you get enough of those cards, you can use them to get a cure. Between every single turn, though, after you draw those cards that you need to find the cures, you also have to draw cards that place diseases in cities around the world. And those are represented by little cubes. And once a city has more than three cubes in it, there is an outbreak in which they send diseases to every city surrounding it. So you can imagine how quickly shit can go right off the rails. Or if you have two cities with three cubes right next to each other and one has an outbreak, then they just basically cover the entire continent in filth. And there are things you do every turn. You can move. There are different ways you can sort of fly from city to city or just move around from city to city. You can treat diseases, basically removing those cubes from the board to try and manage things. The whole time you have to sort of stick around one another so you can pass cards back and forth and eventually try and find cures to these diseases. It is super, super, super fun, super hectic. It's one of those games that is weighted against the player. You will lose it more times than you will win it, but it feels so like satisfying to win the game and to work together with people. The app-taption is seriously amazing. Like, the presentation of it is perfect. It is to just pass and play it. It works really, really well. It sort of internalizes all of the more complex rules of Pandemic and presents them in a very user-friendly, really beginner-friendly way. Not only that, because it's cooperative, you can just as easily play it with four people as you can play it by yourself with a four-person, you know, team. So you control all four players since, you know, it's basically like you're moving pawns around the board. It's like a board game you can play by yourself on the lonely times. There's so many lonely times.
It's kind of bumming me out a little bit.
Yeah, like how bad are the diseases? Are we talking like love sickness, like broken funny bones, like that sort of thing?
I think they have proper names. Whenever we play the board game, we would always make up our own names for the diseases, like butt worms,
mm-hmm.
Butt cold.
Yeah.
Sort of just variations on a theme there, but it's the board game is like really intense, because you can go the entire time with this amazing plan, have three cures found, just need that last card, and then all of a sudden, like, you didn't pay close enough attention to South America, and then all
case of leaky butt,
you get
spread
a case
like wildfire.
You get butt fire. Ooh. That just ravages the entire continent, and you lose the game. It works really, really well on a mobile platform. There's nothing like I don't think there's asynchronous like online multiplayer, but honestly, like, the turns are so short that I don't really think it would work like that. But it's I think it's $5.99 or $6.99, and that is significantly cheaper than the board game, and it's really, really fun if you have a crew that, or you know, a fam that you play, you know, Monopoly or Scrabble on your iPad on maybe Board Game Sunday, this is a good one to add to the rotation. It's really very tremendous.
I saw you and my bride playing it, and mm-hmm. it was interesting because she needed a refresher when she started, and then like mid game, you had to go get ready for our brother was getting married that day, so Griffin had to go get ready for the wedding. And he passed it off to his fiance Rachel, who Sydney taught to play like as they were playing. The rules are not complicated, and you can really hop on.
which is surprising because it actually works a little bit better than the board game in that regard, because you have basically four actions you can do on your turn, and those actions are, there's a lot, right? You can move from city to city, you can take a charter flight, a direct flight, you can cure diseases, you can build research stations. Like, there's a lot of shit you can do, and also every class has unique powers. Like, the nurse can remove all of the diseases off a city in one go. There's like all kinds of different things you can do, and it's kind of hard to keep track of in your brain meat. But the game does all of that for you and sort of presents it in a singular user interface. It's really slick. It's really, really, really well done.
I'm happy to hear it's good, because I was really jazzed about the idea of board games on iPad, you know, basically once it came out. That seemed like kind of the thing to do. And then Rainer Knizia, I'm sorry if I butchered his name, but one of the great, you know, German board game makers, made his stuff available to, I'm guessing, not very good companies, or just companies that wanted to, you know, churn it out. And all these great games were appearing on the App Store, but they were, like, almost unplayable. You know, they didn't really explain the rules. They didn't make it easy if you didn't know the rules.
Yeah.
And it seems like we're just getting back to a point where people are like, oh, yeah, this works. You just have to do it well.
Yeah, there's been a glut, I feel like, of board games released recently that do a really good job of being accessible and not just trying to... You can't just recreate the board game digitally. You can't just do, like, a one-to-one, like... Here is a picture of the piece that you are supposed to be using, right? You have to make it a video game. It's a video game. It's a different beast. And if you try to just port it straight over with visual digital representations of the physical pieces, like, it's just not gonna be that great. I'm actually doing a piece on this now. I'm talking to Days of Wonder, who did Ticket to Ride, which is really good on iPad. They also just released Small World 2 on iPad. Like, there are a lot of companies that are getting it super right, and it's heartening to see. Still waiting on Flying Frog to get on board, get Last Night on Earth and some of those jams on there, but hopefully. I got my fingers crossed.
I am excited to give it a shot because I'm a big fan. I like... The only thing I miss, and this is with all these board games, I miss the sort of the tactile... sense of moving cubes around. And
sure, but the price you pay for that, I mean, one of those fucking Flying Frog games is like $60. I think Pandemic is like $35-$40 maybe at retail. It's nice to have like these totems, but yeah. A lot of people aren't gonna want to shell out for that.
You guys know what I got in the mail? Oh, this person's whoever this PR person is gonna be so excited that I mentioned this thing that I thought I would never mention. I got dice. I don't even know what they're called, but they're dice, and they connect to your iPad via Bluetooth.
Oh yeah, they're those smart dice things.
Yeah, then you roll them, and I have not found use for them at all. That's the dice is not the part that I care about in the equation. Like, I want the, like, if I'm playing Hero Quest, I want the heroes.
Oh God, when is that gonna come to iPad?
Now it needs to come out now.
There are a few games actually that I've tried to recreate it. There's a game called Dark Quest that literally, like, I'm pretty sure they lifted some of the art behind that game, but it's like a single player version of Hero Quest. That's kind of a big angle I want to pursue, and it's something I've been curious about a while, and I've talked about it on the show I think like a dozen times. That's why the fuck,
yeah.
D&D.
Me and you were gonna quit. We're gonna make our own D&D.
Yeah. They've tried, right? Like, they made that. I played a goddamn demo on the Surface of a 4th edition. It just,
it's
nothing
so
ever
obvious.
Happens. I know. Anyway.
You're not asking for the world here.
I'm not, I'm asking for a lot, I think. Who wants to go next?
I will go next. I've been playing this game. Stop me if you've heard this one. It's called Beyond Two Souls.
I read it. It sucks.
I wouldn't say it sucks.
I just read a lot of really nasty reviews about it.
So I did not enjoy, and I think this is putting it kindly, I did not enjoy Heavy Rain. If you are a Heavy Rain defender, I don't really get you.
I am.
Okay, but it's a bad... You know it's bad, other than
a bad
the fact
game.
That,
yeah, I guess if you don't like experimental, groundbreaking storytelling techniques.
Okay.
Jugs.
Well, one would hope, though, that when the ground is broken, the story that emerges from it will not look like mutilated fetus, which is what
Oh, wow.
Heavy Rain is. its story is terrible, and the dialogue's all really bad. Like it was written by.
But did you have to get so?
I know, right?
Morbid.
And it's a little morbid. But Heavy Rain was a bad game, so I went into Beyond with some trepidation. My award is best Willem Dafoe in a game. Because man, Willem Dafoe is so in this game.
Now hold on. Did you weigh it against Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man 1?
That's not a release from this year, so it's not in competition. It's a yearly award.
Okay. Who took it last year? Last year it went to the trailer for the Boondock Saints that they showed off at South by Southwest. Can't wait for that bad boy to drop.
Is that game really
pins and needles?
So Beyond has a lot of that mocap stuff that that people seem to enjoy so much. It's got real actors in it. Ellen Page is in it. She plays the lead, Jody, who is gifted young lady.
Did you mean Ellen Page, the French actress who is attempting to be from Philadelphia for some reason?
No, they have real Americans to play their Americans this time around. So that is a huge plus.
Willem Lefort.
I think Willem Dafoe sounds as much like a French-ass name as you're going to come by. Willem Dafoe is a researcher that takes her in, and Jody is this gifted young woman who is tied inexplicably to a spirit named Aiden, who you can switch to almost at will. Not always, but most of the time. You can switch to Aiden with a button press, and Aiden can float around and possess people and choke them and listen to conversations and sometimes interact with objects in the environment, which is all very, very neat. The problem with that is that it's very regimented as to who you can interact with and what objects you can interact with. You almost always need them to progress in the story. So that is that kind of is frustrating because there's not a lot of experimentation. I think the story is better than Heavy Rain. Obviously, the performance is much better. It's weird to me that, like, they just aren't good at writing dialogue, and they're not good at character development. And
well,
I feel like they've come as far as they can.
You say the story's good. Literally, what else is there?
Well, the storytelling is better. The presentation is better. The performances are better. The narrative is better, but like the dialogue and character development and the other part is plotting, which the plotting is better. It makes more sense. It doesn't have as many giant plot holes as Heavy Rain did. But the controls are actually sort of an evolved version of Heavy Rain. These are very much like in the same vein, right? Like if you didn't like one because of how little control you had, you're not going to like Beyond more. But they do some... in an action sequence, of course, sometimes there's the button presses, but they also have this like sort of, for lack of a better term, Dragon's Lair style system where you push the right stick in the direction of Jody's body movement. So if you see her punching to the left, time will slow way down, and you push the right stick to the left, and you will continue the punch. You know, if you believe in this sort of game, like if you believe in this method of telling stories, like I think that it's a little backwards because I think that, you know, top loading game stories with a lot of dialogue and exposition in that fashion is maybe a little backwards. But I think that it's much more refined than Heavy Rain was.
But it's still like I'm going to play Beyond because I did like Heavy Rain. I loved Fahrenheit despite its copious amounts of flaws. I'm gonna play it because I like what Quantic is doing. I just feel like David Cage's argument that like, hey, don't put a label on how narrative can be developed in games, like that shit held up when Fahrenheit came out, because that was really the first 10 minutes of Fahrenheit I will never forget, because it was like the first time I had played a game like that developed narrative in that way. But guess what, like there are games telling way, way, way better stories in maybe in ways that, that Quantic Dreams helped like forge, but no longer they have been so completely surpassed by Telltale and by fucking Gone Home, like, which doesn't even have much dialogue. Like, there are better stories being told in better ways, it seems like. I don't really think that this is as pioneering as it once was.
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
I just feel like we're at a kind of a split point where two different sides are both unwilling to do the heavy lifting of finding good ways to tell story in games. And one side is this David Cage style of, you know, we're just going to make a movie and we'll add some playable stuff in there and, you know, hopefully that's entertaining for you. And then the other side is the Naughty Dog side, which is we're still going to make a game where you shoot people, but we're going to find a story in which it makes sense for you to do that. And I think that's why the best storytelling in games have been associated with zombie games right now, right? Because the story actually meshes with the action. And the tough part is finding an activity that isn't just shooting people that can be at the center of a story-driven video game.
I want there to be... I want them to make a sequel to Fahrenheit. Only, I just want it to be the first 10 minutes of Fahrenheit where you discover that you've murdered somebody and you have to hide the body while the cops are coming in. The best... It's like the best moment in that game and in better than most games. I want that until, like, it turned out to be, like, a cyber Wiccan cult that was controlling you from the future. I don't want that part. I want the first part where it's not about killing people. You already did the killing, and you're just trying to deal with it, internalize it, come to terms with the guilt of it. Maybe that's a little too mature. Maybe that's a little too adult. Maybe we're not ready for that. But that's the bold vision that I want to create. Also, my name is David Cage Jr. I'm David Cage's son, and I'm taking up my daddy's torch.
I doubt he'll want to relinquish it, but I'm sure he appreciates you pitching in.
And don't call it Indigo Prophecy. That is my number one pet peeve. It's Fahrenheit, like our French god intended.
I don't know. Beyond is better. It's a refinement of Heavy Rain. But I don't see how much further they can push this sort of game until they find people who really know how to write well, because they don't. And there's, again, even though they have Americans playing the roles, there are these weird oversights. Like, for instance, at one point, Jody needs to escape on a motorcycle, and she sees a motorcycle across some fire, and she says,
Sacre bleu!
Sacre bleu! Mon Dieu! No, she says... if only I could get to that motorbike, that's exactly what I need. And it's like, no one in America has ever said that. Right there was history making when I just said that out loud, because no one has ever said that. And that just says to me, like, they didn't even have anyone from America, like, look at the script and say, like, yeah, well, American people sometimes might say that. It's just this really, there's a lot of that kind of thing that says to me that these guys are keeping a very, very controlled approach to their storytelling and not really bringing in outsiders, and I think they need to do that in order to evolve there.
You and I should offer our services to localize the next Quantic Dream game, which will basically involve just like rubbing a thick layer of American butter sauce all over it, just deep frying it. Basically, we need
basically
deep, we just want to deep fry your game.
I don't think it's asking so much. Just deep fry it.
Just deep
more
fry it.
Twerking.
Twerking. Where's the 15 minute long QTE twerking scene? It's a quick twerking event.
Anything been going on in your guys' life?
I went to Baltimore.
Whoa.
And Philadelphia. Oh, I should tell you about Philadelphia. I stayed with our boss, you know, Chris Grant.
He's got a pretty sweet loft.
He's got a pretty sweet loft. One problem. Hmm. He has adopted, like, freak cats off of the street, just like,
well, there's a blind one, right? Oh no, there's one with like really bad diabetes.
Yeah, they're all freaks. And I
not
love
that them. Are you saying that having diabetes makes someone a freak? Because I'm sure there are a lot of our listeners.
Well, it makes like some cat a freak.
What do you mean?
Like, I'm not like judging like people, but like cats,
you're saying cat beatus is,
yeah, like cat beatus needs, that just shows that you have an unwillingness to control what you eat. you have a, you know, a love for sweets that maybe you should learn to, you know, put in its place. You should be a grown-up cat, not a kitten.
I think you're dropping some pretty gross misconceptions about the nature of Beatus.
Anyway, here's the problem with the house. I'm, like, very allergic to these cats. And they waited till I went to sleep. And I was on the couch, perfectly, you know, perfectly asleep, minus the L train, the elevated train that goes through his backyard and wakes you up every 20 minutes. And one of the cats, it mounted itself on my face.
Perfect.
By grabbing its claws into each side of the sofa that I was sleeping on, so I couldn't pull it off. And it just kind of, like, pushed its stomach into my mouth. So I just was, like, just getting hair and all over my nose and my mouth. And then I tried to yank it off, which made it push harder. Like, you're going, like, I'm going to suffocate you with my tummy pillow. And then finally I got it off. I, like, run to the bathroom. I'm, like, washing my face, and, you know, I'm already, like,
crying.
Can barely see. Yeah, oh, tears everywhere. And then I go back to bed, the cat's gone. I'm like, where's that cat? Like, he's gonna come back. He's sitting at the top of the stairwell, staring at me, and, like, scratching one of his claws along it. Like,
yeah.
Like stroking it.
Yeah.
Like a warning.
He put his evil inside you.
Yeah. But my question is, like, is it the cat, or is it the owner who makes the cat the cat, you know? Like,
is it maybe the plant? Who doesn't enjoy kitty bellies?
No, I'm allergic. I love cats, but I don't want to die.
Right, but I mean,
you know, like,
you just dropped some heat bombs on our Beatus listeners, saying it's their own fault they can't control their candy.
Listen,
cravings.
No,
I'm saying this is
a
Chris
human,
plant
a
problem.
Human Beatus.
Just,
I love it. Tom Hanks has human Beatus. And, like, who doesn't love the Hanks?
I love,
know?
Tom Hanks. There, it's out.
It's out.
See,
there.
I'm tired of him getting a bum rap.
Everybody's always been dragging his name through the mud.
What an asshole Tom Hanks is. I'm like, hold up. One second here.
You didn't talk about Chris's Loft's best feature, which is the dog the dog that is bigger than any piece of furniture in the house. So I slept on his couch once, and I woke up, and Yuki was like, just sitting there, like, face level as soon as I woke up. Like, what's up? I'm the size of an armoire.
How's that treat you?
Did you like that?
Yeah, I mean, I love dogs.
You can, like, pet it. Like, you can. Chris Grant, who is, I think, 7.5 feet tall, can pet that dog standing up.
Yeah, well, like, if you think about it, like, Grant is like Paul Bunyan, and then the dog is like his Babe the Blue Ox.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that makes sense.
It does make sense. How did you like Philadelphia, though? Pretty shitty, right?
You know, it was better than I thought it would be, except for, like, we went to a football game, right?
Philly Eagles?
I'm going to use some swear words. Are you going to be ready to bleep these?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Okay. So, we go to this football game.
We don't bleep swear words anymore, but thanks for listening to the past 30 episodes.
So, we go to this football game, and this, like, 19-year-old is sitting in front of me, and he's, like, totally drunk. And I'm not wearing my Kansas City Chiefs paraphernalia.
Was this an NFL game? Was this the
yeah,
Eagles?
It was the Eagles versus the Kansas City Chiefs. My team versus the Eagles. I'm just wearing a black shirt. I went neutral. I didn't want to get murdered, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm cool like that. And then halfway through the game, this drunk 19-year-old who's been, like, screaming, he turns around and he's like, "You're a Chiefs fan, aren't you?" And I'm like, yeah, I am. And he's like, "Oh, well, you're a fucking pussy. And
what?
Chiefs fans are, you know, C-words and other C-words." And
my,
like,
my.
This 19-year-old is hustling me.
Yeah.
And so,
so
I grab
beat the shit out of him.
Yeah. No, what I do is I grab his right shoulder. And I'm like, hey, how long have you been an Eagles fan? And he's like, "Well, actually, that's funny. I was born in Rochester." And I was like, "Oh, yeah? I live in New York. I don't know a lot of Eagles fans from Rochester." And he's like, "Well, I don't know. I just always liked the Eagles. And I mean, I liked him before my dad did." And I was like, "Oh, how is that possible?" And he's like, "Oh, well, I didn't meet my dad until much later in life." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah?" And he's like, "Actually, he's right here." And then his dad was like, "Oh, hey." And he's like, "Yeah, this guy's a pussy, right?" And his dad's like, "No, man, he likes the Chiefs. They're doing well. Respect that." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, well, if dad likes you, that's cool." And I was like, "Whoa, this just got weird.
I can't believe I am sitting here in disbelief that you touched an aggressive stranger. I wouldn't touch a non-aggressive stranger at a sports event. You had one that was straight. He was in your grill, it sounded like.
He was.
You still touched him.
Well, you know what? That's what I think scary people need. They need a little bit of love. You know, the other thing this guy did, he saw Tom, our video guy. This is before all of this. He turns around to Tom and he's like, "I know you." And Tom's like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, I fucking know you. You were our waiter at Hard Rock tonight. You did great." And Tom's like, "No, I wasn't." And he's like, "No, you were."
Do you think this guy might be hosting some sort of punk style program and he's just really bad at it? Like they come up with the most benign pranks they can think of.
Hey, you look like my waiter.
Think about it. Chris Plant, what do you got?
I got Grand Theft Auto Online. Not to be confused with Grand Theft Auto 5. It's a separate game.
It's not.
Except for it isn't a separate game. Except for it is and it isn't. I don't know. It changes like every week.
It hit, like, this whole pitch of it being a separate game, like, just stinks of them having these aspirations of it being, like, a microtransactional paradise, right? Like, it seems like a thing that they can leverage lots and lots of money off of long after the wave of initial GTA 5 purchases has died down, except that it takes place entirely inside of GTA 5. Like, it just doesn't... It's the same fucking game. It's set in the same fucking world and, like, has all the same game parts.
Yeah,
what's the distinction?
I think the distinction is it's of such a lower quality that you could reason that it wasn't made by some of the same people.
It's not very good. I haven't had much fun playing it. I've played it a bunch.
You know, it's also just, like, the small stuff. Like, the UI. Like, things that, like, I associate with, you know, Rockstar doing well are just really hideous. I mean, like, really ugly and hard to use and unreliable. It's not a comfortable experience in any way.
The idea behind a lot of that stuff is good. It's the implementations that's horrible. Like, getting from one mission to the next in a playlist, because if you find people that you like playing with, by some fucking miracle, you can stay with them by, like, once a mission or a race or deathmatch or whatever ends, brings up the clunkiest, worst menu ever to decide what you guys are going to do next. And it takes, like 5 uninterrupted minutes to get from one game type to the next. Like, it's... I don't know. But why don't we talk more broad strokes? Because we just...
Yeah, I've never touched it, so...
So, yeah, the way it works is you design a character, can be male or female. The way you do it is the worst way imaginable. You choose your grandparents, who are represented by, like... 5-pixel by 5-pixel photographs.
I did do this part. I did do the character creation, and horrible. I could not believe. I thought it was a joke.
Yeah,
like the pictures are so tiny,
and the only way I could change my character's appearance was just by hitting randomize over and over again, because I could not for the life of me. Like, he just went from one monstrous golem to the next with, like, actually not that much variation between them.
Yeah, it's rough. And then you do a race, which isn't fun. And then you get some cutscenes. And then after that, a ton of little black pop-up windows appear that tell you how to play the game right away. And they just flash by, and you're like, what happened? And then somebody shoots you, and you die. And you're like, what? And then it's like, do you want to turn on passive mode? And you're like, yeah, I do. I don't want to get shot by these people. So then they run you over. And then you're like, why? Why am I here? What God put me on this hellhole?
It's a good... I mean, there are some elements that are great. Like, it's a great edu game for, like, if you wanted to learn more slurs for the homosexual community.
Sure.
It's got that in spades. You pointed this out in our review update, and I don't know if it's especially fair to hold this against a game or not, but it really is the worst human beings I've ever played video games with in my life.
Well, I think... I wouldn't have put it in the review if I didn't think the game encouraged awful behavior. And I think it does in, like, a lot of ways.
Well, I mean, it offers a good behavior bonus. I mean, it specifically does the opposite, too.
False. In that, here's why I think that's baloney, is it kept kicking me out of games.
And then it would warn you about it.
It would tell me that I was being, you know, I was going to get punished. On the flip side, there is all these motivations to shoot people and to make them mad and steal their money. But two, There's the whole stealing mechanic of, you know, like holding up a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
The way you make that process go faster is by screaming at these gas station owners into your mic, and it makes it go a little faster.
These very racially and culturally diverse gas station owners.
Sure. And the weird thing is everyone is starts out hearing each other, so you will enter a game and you'll just hear people screaming the worst imaginable things.
Like, which, again,
over and over.
Indicative, like, you don't have to. You can just go, ah, jelly beans, jelly beans, jelly beans, jelly beans, and you will still get the money fast. People do not elect to follow that option and instead go for the most accurate depiction of hate speech in a stick-up environment that one could possibly simulate.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's really rough. And there are, like, moments of greatness.
But there are,
what you can see could be great.
They are emergent and they are accidental. The core game shit of, like, the balance of the game is non-fucking existent. Case in point, the very, very, very worst thing about the online mode of the game is that there is still lock-on targeting, but not when you're in a car. So when you're in a car and you're going after somebody not in a car, that person is going to shoot you to death 100% of the time, guaranteed, no doubt about it. If you are in, like, a car chase, there are these missions where you are on a team racing against another team to get this objective and take it back to your base, and it's the worst. They are the worst, least fun, partially because if you lose, you don't get anything. You don't get experience, cash, or anything, which I thought pretty much every game had figured out at this point, that you kick the losers at least a little bit so they don't feel like they just wasted 20 goddamn minutes. But not only that, like, all you have to do is get out of your car, auto lock on to the drivers of the other cars, and fucking mow them down. When you're in the car, you're just a moving, helpless target. You can shoot, but, like, good luck lining up the pixel with the other pixel that makes the other people die when they can just auto lock onto you. Like, it's fucked. Like, it's just, it incentivizes not being in a car. It's just super not fun.
It's a supremely Rockstar thing to do, to say, well, we've never made an online game, but I bet we can figure it out.
You've done two, except they've done two.
Which, yeah, what?
They did Grand Theft Auto 4 Online? Red Dead Redemption Online was great.
No, I mean at the scale that this is at.
I'm going to still say bullshit. I loved Red Dead Redemption's Online, and I had way more fun with that. I liked leveling up through that and unlocking new shit. Grand Theft Auto Online also penalizes you for everything. Like, you lose so much when you die, and it's so slow to earn it back. You have an ammo reserve that you have to spend a shit ton of money to refill, and also you use that ammo every time you do a mission or a deathmatch. So, like, doing a deathmatch is kind of a costly thing. Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense whatsoever.
I think the problem is it backpedals on all the great ideas it had with GTA 5. What I liked about GTA 5 is it felt like it was just rewarding fun. Like, GTA 4 did not. It took a lot to have fun, and I had to spend money to have fun, and I was, like, punished for having fun. And GTA 5 is not that at all. There's all sorts of crazy things I can do and with minimal punishment. And here, it's just, you're right, like, to get anything that you want to do, to get cool weapons, you have to spend a lot of money. To get a car, you have to spend money. And the car might be taken away or it might be destroyed, so you have to get insurance. Like, there are so many steps that are clearly there to either, I guess, stunt progression or, and here's the cynical view, to get you to spend money on, you know, in-game bucks.
You either do one thing or the other. You either have microtransactions in the game to really do what you said, which is for people who want to do this a little bit faster, then go nuts, or you have, you know, you make it easier to get through those things. When you have both, the easy conclusion to come to is, oh, you make it so easy to lose this shit, and you make it so hard to get new shit that you just want me to go ahead and pony up for it, which brings me back to the point of this kind of just seems like the way they have pitched it and positioned it and released it kind of seems like a second source of constant income.
Yeah,
is just like, I don't know, it's not fun. I had my hopes were so high. And, like, I've had fun maybe 5 minutes of the 5 hours that I've put into it so far.
I think the way the I don't know, in-app purchasing system or whatever you want to call it should have been was okay, you can increase XP a lot easier, and that will unlock your ability to get some of these cool things. But once you have them, they're yours. Like, you don't have to worry about spending a lot of money on ammo or weapons or cars. If you've hit a certain level, you are just automatically cooler, you know? Instead of this, like, weird, dull sense of process where, like, do you want to spend that money on an apartment? Cool. Don't plan on using any cars or weapons for the next
right.
5 hours
it is,
of grinding.
It is 100% grind. It is 100% grind. I do the missions, and I wait in the fucking lobbies for eternity because you get so much more money when you play with more people than you would when you play by yourself or with one other person. Specifically so, I can raise the money. And, like, all my goal has been to raise money to a certain point so I can afford this one shitty apartment.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't sound like a game at that point, dog. It sounds like fucking life.
I would have been so much happier if I, you know, hit level 20 and it's like, great, you hit level 20. Which of these four apartments do you want? You know,
yeah.
Keep your money. Here's a reward. You did well, you know, like, but instead it's just, ugh. There's just so many design choices that make zero sense.
I'm hoping a lot of that can be fixed if they just tweak how much money it takes to get shit. Don't make me pay fucking $5,000 to unlock a silencer for my pistol. Like,
or $11,000 for car insurance on a crappy car.
Right. Like, just make that shit a little bit easier to get. I don't know what to do with the auto-aiming shit. Like, because the other solution is turning it off, and that won't be good at all.
Well, that's deathmatch. That's like, ugh.
No, deathmatch, you can still auto-lock on.
Really? When I was doing it, my aim was nothing.
No, I played a deathmatch game where I found a pretty long-range SMG, and I just, like, chilled on a roof and just, like, picked off fools just as soon as they hooked in my field of vision. Just pip, 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 pip. It's a pretty intense, pretty high-stakes, thrilling experience.
Well, that's that game. But, if people are wondering what the best was, it's the best loading screen because while reviewing it, I spent about 3 days looking at it.
It's really bad. I mean, that's the other thing, right? We didn't even touch on the fact that it's unstable as fuck. People did what I did, which is, like, grind for days, saving up money to afford, like, that high-rise apartment in the sky, and they fucking lost connectivity to the cloud servers or some shit and lost it all.
Oh, yeah, the saving is... Oh, my gosh. Also, to save, you have to exit the game.
Yeah, which,
like,
by the way,
no
I've never
save
done...
option. So you're basically gambling with your time the longer you decide to not exit your PlayStation.
I've never done that, and you know why I've never done that, Plant?
Because you've never made it that far?
No, because they never fucking say, hey, make sure to do this thing before you... They did it. There's a warning message telling you to do it now that appears on every loading screen, which is great. You get, like, a little sliver of ineptitude every time you finish a mission. Like, by the way, we fucked up and you could lose everything if you don't follow these steps. Like, just make sure to save your game. Like, fucking Zelda 2 told you to do that on the NES. Like, you can't program that shit in ahead of time. It's just, this shit pisses me off so much because it's just hubris because you think, oh, we don't need to beta that shit. You definitely, definitely, definitely need to beta that shit. You definitely need to beta that shit. You got to, please.
Can it be, I mean, couldn't you make the argument that this is, I mean, Chris made the point in his review that just labeling it a beta, like, would that change anything for you if that's what they called it?
No, because stick with me here. This is, like, ultimate privilege. But, like, I'm imagining there are a ton of people that bought GTA 5 that sale was pushed along by the fact that they were like, by the way, it's going to have this dope GTA Online that comes along with it. Check it out. You got to purchase it. Like, so it coming out not only on the same day as the game coming out and sucking, but, like, 2 fucking weeks after the game came out. Like, no, you gotta do that shit ahead of time before people pay for it. It's not just, like, a freebie little bonus. Like, that's kind of a shitty way to think about it.
I would have almost preferred they waited much longer than 2 weeks. Like, give it 2 months. I mean, I know they're trying to increase retention of the disc, so that would have kind of defeated the purpose there. But
it's counterintuitive, right? Because I've had such negative fun with it that I'm probably not going to play it again, at least until they get their fucking act together.
Boom.
Yeah. And the
truth hurts.
The big bummer is I don't want to play GTA 5 now either, because if I'm going to be in that world, I want to be basically grinding and earning stuff. Like, that's the real bummer is I probably would have kept playing GTA 5 just for kicks, Mm-hmm. But now when I'm in that world, I'm like, oh, I should, if I'm going to be here, I should be like increasing my stats. And that's a horrible way of thinking about any game.
It's this bizarre psychology of, I was so looking forward to GTA Online because I think I talked about this on the show. Like, I found that the three character progression is so disjointed and fucked up. Like, don't make me manage three different bank accounts and three different, like, sets of properties and three different equipment sets and three different clothing options. And like, don't make me do that. Just let me have the one. That would be so much better. And then they're like, by the way, you can do that in GTA Online. I was like, oh, sweet. I'm going to level up that guy. I'm going to get so many bucks. I'm going to buy so much sweet shit. And then like, oh, but that process kind of sucks too. It makes me so, I'm so like crushed. I'm disappointed as fuck.
I wish I could say that I was like shocked. I wish I could say that this was more surprising, that it was unenjoyable, but I was so sort of like muted on GTA 5. I can't say that I was like, I can't say that my hope.
The only reason it's shocking for me is because Red Dead Redemption's Online was so much fun. And this is a major step backwards.
I don't think I ever tucked into it. Anyway, that's going to do it for us here on the Besties. We hope you've, had fun just like us. If you want to read more about any of these games, you can head over to polygon.com and read about them. Follow us on Twitter at Polygon, Facebook /Polygon, YouTube /Polygon, polygon.com.tumblr.com. And I'm sure just type in Polygon somewhere and you'll get to something we make probably.
You know what we're chatting about next week though?
Oh, we're going to catch them all.
We are going to catch so many of them. I could have talked about it. The review embargo's up, but there's some shit that is still under embargo till the game comes out. It's fucked up. So we'll dive so deep next week.
This is my check first out Pokemon since Red, guys.
Saturday morning, Plant. Make sure you check out my hot tips post. It's gonna be full of essential tips for trainers like you, lapsed trainers, who haven't even come close to catching them all. This post is for you.
Can I catch them all? Like, would I have to go back and play all the games to catch them all?
I'm not sure. I mean, there's a lot of familiar faces. I haven't spent the 1,000 hours required to even see them all.
Got it.
So I don't know if they all live in Pokemon X and Y or not. Cool. Then
how dare you write a review, sir? How dare you? and that's going to do it for us here on the Besties. Make sure to join us again next Friday for the Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best things?